Good afternoon, everyone. So today, my presentation is going to focus on the strengths and challenges of community organizing and policy campaigns for health equity. And I'm actually going to step out the box and not speak as an academic, but speak as an ally with community organizers that I've been working with for over 20 years. So I'm going to let you in a little bit into how they view this work, and I'm hopeful that us who are working in public health will get a better understanding of what it is that they do. Okay, I have no relationships to disclose. Okay, the science of community organizing. And this is coming straight from organizers themselves, and so some key questions that I want you guys to think about as I present some of the qualitative data that I'm going to present is, do policy campaigns that result in policy wins fulfill the vision and mission of community organizing? Just to recap, of the 21 CCHE grantees that launched food and recreation access policy campaigns, 17 of those grantees won 75 policy wins. So are the 75 policy wins an indicator of systemic change related to health equity for the 17 communities? And does that mean then that the other four communities that did not meet their community organizing mission and vision, and in fact are not working towards health equity in their communities? So continuing with the science of community organizing, another question. If a community fought and won a park and later programming for that park, would a community organizer view that as a victory? That is long-term systemic change. It depends. And so one of the things that community organizers will frequently tell me and community members is that folks in public health, like even departments of public health, academics, policy advocacy groups, will look at this and say, yes, we want to walk a park for this underserved community of color that had no parks. And then everyone claps and they walk away and they're like, problem solved. So they would say it depends, because no, if it's park and programming only. Yes, if it's park, programming, and residents at the table for future decision making. So in other words, if it's park and programming only, it's a vehicle only. But if it's park, programming, and a resident is now at the table with decision makers to decide programming for the park and other parks and for parks and recreations in that underserved community, then yes. And so organizers would say, yes, it's great and we celebrate it if we got the park and the programming only, but if we are not putting in place, if we're not putting a place for residents to be at the table to allocate funds for the future, it is not long-term systemic change. And it is only a vehicle to engage the community to build their knowledge and their capacity to advocate on their behalf. So policy campaigns are a vehicle to do movement building and to create grassroots power that is strong and lives beyond the life of the organization. It's people power. So these community-based organizations, we may come in and do a program evaluation for 3 years, but that doesn't mean that their fight does not continue long after we are gone and we are done with finishing collecting data. Constituent issues and needs are addressed through campaigns and their related program and their related demands, so such as programs or allocation of funds. So one campaign may end, but that doesn't mean that another campaign doesn't begin. Again, the long-term goal is systemic change. That is how decisions are being made on a host of social and economic issues affecting underserved communities of color. And in the words of an organizer, community residents should be at the forefront, identifying the problems, drafting solutions, and making the decisions along with policymakers and other key stakeholders. So one of the things that community organizers do at the end of their policy campaigns is they typically take time to systematically evaluate their campaigns. Did we build a movement? And did we create grassroots power? For example, what did we build through the process of fighting this campaign? Did our membership size increase? Did we develop a cadre of resident leaders capable of advocating on their own behalf with decision makers? Have we increased the community's knowledge of how decisions are being made? Were strategic alliances built that helped us build our people power? And did we elevate our capacity to engage with the media? Is our organizational form working, or is it deficient and in need of some type of change? And so part of what's important to know about policy campaigns and even community organizers is that if the organization were to die, if they were to run out of funding, that does not mean that the people power dies. That means that residents are still able and capable to advocate for themselves and their communities. And so that is the ultimate goal of community organizing. So what I'm going to do right now is going to present a snapshot of some grantee self-reported data, really kind of peeking into their world about what is some of the accomplishments that they had along the way and some of the challenges that they experienced. We have almost 3 years of data that we collected on their accomplishments and challenges, and we really just simply built in two questions into their quarterly check-ins. What were the biggest accomplishments in your campaign this past quarter? And what challenges or barriers were faced in your CJ campaign this past quarter? And we collected, again, almost 3 years of this data qualitatively. So again, this is just a snapshot, a peek into our data, because it's much more than 20 minutes would allow. So quickly, just looking at the CJA total accomplishments, there was 367 reported accomplishments. And you can see the breakdown through their organizational capacity, their organizing strategies, and their policy campaigns, with the biggest cited accomplishments in growing their base, their leader base, and their ally base, and also in building power. In terms of, let's take a minute to unpack their organizational capacity accomplishments, 21 grantees reported 31 accomplishments in their operational capacity, so there were 7. 13 were related to resources and funding, and with staffing, there was 11. And so in their own words, one grantee said, "The Kellogg Foundation awarded 2 separate grants, a large grant specifically devoted to our efforts and one to the national organization. The Kellogg grant is significant in that it supports us to be at the table with Detroit's Future City Long-Term Strategic Development Plan, which is identifying the long-term vision for the city, setting a framework for policy change, and establishing funding priorities." So very, very significant accomplishment that they had along during their CJA campaign. And then another grantee said, "Largely due to a new hire, new position, the campaign and organizing director has been able to put in more staff time into the coalitions, particularly Chinatown Coalition. She is also trilingual and has extensive policy experience, so that has been a big help." So let's take a minute to unpack some of their organizing strategies, and we're specifically going to focus in on growing their community and ally base. But in review, 21 grantees reported 156 accomplishments in this category. 38 were with community base, 39 their leader base, 45 with their ally base, 23 mobilizing their base, and 11 were message reframe. If we unpack those 45 accomplishments with growing ally base, 17 grantees reported accomplishments with engagement and expansion or formal coalition building. So what does that mean? So there was 28 instances where they felt that they had accomplished a lot with creating strategic opportunities for their allies to get involved in their CJA campaign. And they also built these strategic relationships with these ally organizations representing various sectors. And then the formal coalition is that they formally work together with allies to accomplish a shared range of goals to influence policymaking in line with their CJA campaign. If we take a minute to break down community-based accomplishments, 15 grantees reported successes with engagement of their community base and expansion of their community base. So what does that mean? So with engagement, there was 15 reported accomplishments where they felt they created meaningful and diverse opportunities for adult and youth residents to get involved in their campaign, versus expansion was that they grew in size. They went out of their initial target population focus, so maybe they were a youth-only organization, and through this campaign, they were able to add a parent component. Or a geographic sector to gain broader community support. So maybe they were focused in Chinatown and now they went to other communities in Manhattan that were also facing gentrification, or they were focused in 2 neighborhoods and now they're in 5 neighborhoods. So in their own words, one grantee said, "The Fresh Expressions event and the opening of the Youth and Arts Wellness Center encouraged greater community and youth involvement in our campaigns and linked art and culture to our food justice work." Another said, "We are continuously growing and getting more involvement from new neighborhoods into the organization and the campaign." And this one's critical. It's not just about getting folks involved in the campaign, but their organization as well, into their membership. In terms of ally base, co-writing the resolution with a union on breakfast in the classroom really helped us strengthen an alliance with them. And finally, another grantee said, "Building a strong coalition to support the campaign, which includes several community groups based in poor communities of color like this organization and this other organization. Together, we conducted outreach on the campaign and testified at City Hall to push the transit campaign forward." So moving on to policy campaign accomplishments and unpacking that a little bit further, and we're going to focus a little bit on building power and what does that mean when a grantee says we have some accomplishments building power. So in review, 21 grantees reported 180 accomplishments in building power, 115 instances, challenging inequity with 30, and changing discourse with 35. But if we unpack build power, what does that mean? We had 14 grantees report that they had 81 instances where their visibility and influence grew, where they are viewed as key stakeholders involved in combating childhood obesity in their community. As an organization, they are taken into account. So prior to anything going down, it's like, we better call Community Coalition, because if not, we're gonna have 100, 200, 500 people outside of our doors next week. And so if we unpack that a little bit more, what does that mean? So there was 44 instances where a decision maker adopted or supported a CCHE position or agenda. And those could be reflected in written policies, public statements, letters of support, formal endorsements, motions, requests for hearings. We had another 21 where they now had a presence at the decision-making table, so they won seats in community-based planning initiative groups, school district departments of food services or city parks and recreation. There's 10 instances of informal support or resources from decision-makers, so they won land and water for gardens by the city. School department reviewed together with them policy demands and then gave them input. Departments provided internal data or reports or tools that assisted them with their CCHE policy campaign. And then finally, even some of their non-CCHE efforts, so campaigns that fell outside of this initiative, raised their visibility and somehow put a spotlight onto their CCHE campaign, and so then raised their visibility as an organization. And so in their own words, one grantee said, "Mobilizing groups of allies and member leaders to be present in all planning commission and city council meetings contributed to a marginal victory in the planning commission's administrative draft." In terms of building power, another grantee said, "The youth presentation of the survey results to the county task force influenced some of the task force members, which then influenced their proposed recommendation to the health department. With the inclusion of community-specific concerns of access, transportation, culture, and language needs. It is now under review by the Health Department's Health Commission, and in about 4 to 5 months' time, a proposal will be given to the Planning Commission and Board of Supervisors on what can be implemented." Another grantee said, "We are continuing to keep the possible closure of the hospital front and center with the community and decision makers. Without the coalition's fight to keep it open, this issue would have fallen under the radar." And finally, the presentation of our campaign agenda at the July City Council meeting, internal operations, gained enough visibility, it led to a powerful lobby group organized opponent organizing a counterattack. It's a mixed accomplishment. And I remember doing this interview and hearing the organizer say this to me, and it was both like, whoa, like we are now like a key stakeholder in this fight in the city. On the other hand, they're like, whoa, we have like this really powerful opponent now that we have to take into consideration into our policy campaign strategy. And then finally, you know, one of the things I mentioned earlier is that community organizers look at their organizational form. We call it organizational capacity. So if we kind of unpack that a little bit further, in terms of challenges, 20 grantees reported 77 challenges with their operational capacity, their workload, their staff, and then funding resources. And in their own words, one grantee said, trying to move on multiple fronts at once is challenging. Working on a strategic plan, revision, leadership development, restructuring, and electoral campaign, new work, including the CJ campaign. A lot of time community organizers have so much on their plate, including the community themselves who are involved in the campaign. You have a parent who is trying to work and pick up their child from school, and then they're being asked during their free time to become a leader and to advocate on behalf of their communities. Another grantee said, we hired staff who didn't have any organizing experience or understanding of the policy piece, the system level change. It was a challenge because we got behind to the organizing, which impacted all of the work. And finally, another grantee said, not having a full-time communications person working with us was a challenge. Wanted to do op-eds, but there was never enough time to do it and do it well. So in summary, CJ campaigns led to really important concrete and tangible policy wins. However, tracking and quantifying the CJ grantee accomplishments are another important indicator of the success of their campaigns, and that is really that they built grassroots power and they created systemic change in how decisions were made in their communities. Again, the CJ campaigns were a vehicle for the grantees to build the capacity of their organizations and their resident and youth leaders. And finally, in terms of just some evaluation practices, evaluating organizational form is part of the science to perfecting organizing. Therefore, embedding questions into a program evaluation of community organizing as a public health strategy for health equity is critical as well. It is important data, it's lessons learned for future work or replication of this work by other groups. And that's it.